Welcome to Zion Teachers Series. Today's teacher is Dr. Brian J. Bailey. Dr. Bailey is an international prophet and Bible teacher and a prolific author of 40 books. These books have been translated into about 25 languages. In his 50-year ministry, he has traveled to over 100 countries, ministering in churches, conventions, pastors' seminars, television, and radio. Dr. Bailey is currently president of Zion Fellowship International and the senior pastor of Zion Chapel, both of which are located in Glory Hill in Waverly, New York. He is also president of Zion University and Zion Ministerial Institute, which has Bible schools in over 30 countries around the world. Today's topic is on the Book of Psalms. And the Book of Psalms brings comfort, encouragement, direction, and courage to believers from all walks of life. Join with us now as we open our hearts to what the Lord has to say from the Book of Psalms.
Welcome again to our selection from the Psalms. And in this session, we're going to look at two very interesting Psalms, Psalm 20 and Psalm 21. I'd like to invite you to get your Bibles and follow with me in these two very interesting Psalms. These Psalms are different from some of the others that we have studied, because, if I could say this, one follows the other. And they're Psalms actually sung by the congregation to the king as he goes into battle. Well, I want to liken it to the congregation sending forth their pastor on a mission trip, on some overseas seminar or visit. And it's so wonderful to see how the congregation of King David's time was so absolutely knit in the spirit with the king's call and purposes. And I want to say this too, to encourage you, you know, how important it is to be at one with your pastor. You know, you see your pastor standing up in the pulpit preaching, he's very much dependent upon your prayers and you standing with him. Also, another very important thing that King David made a law, actually, in Israel was this, that he said, they that go forth to battle and they that stay with the stuff shall share and share alike. Well, it happened when King David himself was going to reclaim all the property that had been taken from his people when the Amalekites raided the camp, when David and his men were out fighting battles. All the women, all the children, and all the material goods that they possessed had been taken by the Amalekites. And some of David's men stayed at the camp, whilst the others with David went under the direction of God, for they asked God, you know, what are we to do? And God said, go up and you'll recover all. And so they went down to the Amalekites, who were rejoicing unawares that King David and his mighty men were very near them and surrounding them. Well, David got the victory, slew the Amalekites, and he got everything back again. Everything back. And when they came back to the camp, you know, David made this declaration. Look, those that went with me and those that stayed minding the camp shall share and share alike. And that was a law in Israel, which, of course, having been decreed by King David, you know, is, if I could say this, mandated by God. Well, this is a beautiful point of this law of David. It is this, that when your pastor goes forth, you know, on a mission trip, well, all the wonderful triumphs he has on the foreign field, the people that get converted or healed, filled with the Holy Ghost and so forth, well, the pastor is not going to keep all those for himself. But God, in his graciousness, wisdom and righteousness, he will say, well, yes, so many people were saved, but they are going to be shared. The rewards are going to be shared in heaven above by those on earth who sent forth the pastor, whether they gave money or whether they prayed him through and encouraged him. They are going to share and share alike in the spoils, and that will be recorded in heaven, that you know, the wondrous efforts of the pastor on the foreign field, well, are going to be enumerated in heaven, yes, but they're going to be apportioned amongst the congregation as well. Having said that, let us come to Psalm 20 and Psalm 21. Psalm 20 is the sending off of the king, King David. Psalm 21 is receiving him again after his triumphs. So therefore, we look with great anticipation now into Psalm 20, the encouragement that the congregation gave to King David as he went forth to battle. And of course, his battle was indeed physical. I mean, he physically fought the enemy. And there was indeed grave danger when he went forth to battle. You read some of the accounts of Samuel, Kings, Chronicles. Those kings were in the middle of the battle. And on several occasions, those kings were killed. Ahab, king of Israel, was killed by someone who just by chance sent an arrow into the army of Israel, struck the king, killed him. Josiah, king of Judah, likewise. I mean, when he went forth to battle against Pharaoh Necho, well, he got killed. He lost his life. And so on. So those kings were not at the rear. They were at the forefront of the battle. And on one occasion, as he was getting older, into his, about his 50s, you know, the army of Judah said to David, look, we don't want you coming anymore. You're getting older, and you're worth more than 1,000 of us. And they said, you stay at home. Well, that was later on in his life. But here in Psalm 20, we are looking at King David in his prime, and there was a certain season when the armies went out to battle. Generally in springtime, you know, that was the time that the armies went forth and, you know, went to war against their neighboring enemies. And that's a little phrase you find in Scripture. You know, the time that the armies went forth. See? Well, here it is, Psalm 20. And so here is a congregation, almost chanting in unison these wonderful words, the Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Israel defend thee. You know, in the book of Proverbs, it speaks of the fact that the name of God is a strong tower, and the righteous run in and are saved. How does that interpret for us today? Well, simply the name of Jesus. It is very, very powerful. Remember, Jesus has overcome the wicked one. On the cross, he spoiled or took away the power of the enemy. And so you see, when we are covered by his name, when we use his name, oh, we are under his protection. So that's what the people said, the name of the God of Israel, defending. So he went forth to battle, you know, in the name of God. For example, Goliath. How much greater Goliath was than King David? Well, David at that time was just a stripling. And Goliath came in all the might of a mature warrior. But how did David come against him? He said, I come against you in the name of the God of Israel. See, there's tremendous power. And then it says, send thee help from the sanctuary. Oh, you know, Jesus, you know, said to his disciples, look, if I want, I can have 12 legions of angels to defend me. But in a very real sense, you know, that is what happens. That when we go forth to battle, you know, the angels of the Lord go with us. King David understood what it meant. You know, send thee help from the sanctuary. He understood that. You know, one of his battles against the Philistines, the Lord said, wait until you hear the marching feet in the mulberry trees. In other words, when the angels of God are going forth, then you go forth. They'll fight for you. You know, in modern times, I was in Israel, and this is what was told me. You know, at one of the wars in Israel, the Egyptians were actually firing into the sky because they could see the angels coming out ahead of the Israeli army. You see, it's very real. We're looking at Old Testament times, but what we see in Old Testament times is true today. See, send thee help from the sanctuary. Have you never felt the presence of angels with you? I'm sure you have. All right. Grant thee according to thine own heart. Fulfill all thy counsel. You know, one of the things that God loves to do is to give us the desires of our hearts. And obviously, King David wanted victory over the enemy, and the congregation said, oh, let God send you help from the sanctuary and give thee the desires of thine heart. And then the congregation says, we will rejoice in thy salvation. And in the name of our God, we will set up banners for the Lord fulfill all thy petitions. You know, the congregation was so one with King David. King David's going forth with his mighty men. The congregation, you know, the men and women who were not going forth, obviously, to battle. You know, they said, oh, we're going to set up banners when you come home. You see, they were so identified with their king. And that's what God wants you as a congregation to be. So identified with your pastor when you send him off on a mission trip. And when he comes back, you know, you'll set up the banners of victory. And, you know, they said this, that we will rejoice in thy salvation. We will rejoice in thy salvation. you know, we're going to rejoice when you come back victorious. And goes on to say, now know I that the Lord saveth his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Oh, the confidence here. You know, if King David was saying his heart, you know, after being surrounded by all these prayers and these songs of his congregation, he said, I know, I'm confident that God will save his anointed, your pastor, God's anointed. He will save him. And, you know, remembering in those days, they went out with chariots and spears and so forth. And he said, some trust in chariots, some in horses. No, we won't trust in our strength or in our numbers, but rather we will remember the name of the Lord, our God, the name of Jesus, all powerful. Go forth in the name of Jesus. And you'll see the enemies back off because Jesus has already defeated them. And then they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Oh, to see the enemies of God fall and go back. The dark powers of Satan receding from the light of Christ within us. And then, save Lord, let the King hear us when we call. Oh no, you know, oh pastor, hear us, we're calling, we're praying for you. Oh, what confidence they had. Well, now, that's how they sent him off. That's how they sent King David off. But Psalm 21, you know, is the triumphal return of King David from battle. And this is what he said. The king shall joy in thy strength, O Lord, and in thy salvation how greatly shall he rejoice. You know, with confidence, you know, David was saying, oh, I'm rejoicing, I'm rejoicing. And you know, joy is strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And here, the king was rejoicing in the name of the Lord, in his presence, and he was gaining his strength. And then it says, thou hast given him his heart's desire. In the previous psalm, you know, the prayer was, oh, give the king his desire. And then, coming back, you know, King David gives his testimony. Oh, thou hast given the king his heart's desire, and has not withholden his request of his lips. Oh, how wonderful it is. You know, we pray and ask God, oh God, meet us. You know, give us a victory here. Let's overcome the problems. And then, when God gives us that victory, oh, how we shout and cry out to God and say, oh, thank you, Lord. You've answered my prayers, and God is the one that does answer prayers. And how good it is when he does. You know, we just rejoice and rejoice and rejoice. Well, in verse 3, thou preventest him with the blessings of goodness. You know, God does not just answer prayers, you know, but he showers us with his blessings. And we're overcome. And we're like the psalmist who says, you know, when the Lord turned the captivity of Israel, we were like them with a dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our heart with singing. And that's what's happened when God gives us the victory. He does not just give us, you know, a small victory, but God is a God of abundance. And when he comes forth on our behalf, oh, like he did for King David, Oh, he said, oh, the blessings of the goodness of God. And that's what you'll receive. When you pray through and God answers, he answers in abundance. Our God is a God of abundance, and he delights in answering prayer in abundance. Well, he goes on to say, thou settest a crown of pure gold on his head. You know, crown is again the symbol of an abundance. The crown of righteousness, the abundance of righteousness. See, God is a God of abundance. And he asked life of thee, and thou gavest him even length of days forever and ever. You know, God doesn't just give us a life here that is long when we walk with him. No, he gives us eternal life that never, but never ends. See how God is so good. And then his glory is great in thy salvation. Honor and majesty hast thou laid upon him. You see, God lifts us up and places upon us his anointing. And that anointing is one of majesty and authority. And thou hast made him more blessed forever. Thou hast made him exceeding glad with thy countenance. You see, if I could say this, once we've gone through a battle, you know, and once we've achieved something, for example, a game, sports, you know, you battle and, you know, in the game and, you know, it's hard going. Your opponents can be very good. But perhaps like in soccer, you eventually win the game. Oh, after the game, you're just filled with joy. That's what happens to a victor in any sport, in any situation, business or wherever, or in school, when you pass your exams. Oh, what joy you have. And so, this is what happens when God gives us the victory. He makes us exceeding glad with his presence. For the king, you know, rejoices in the Lord, and through the mercy of the Most High, he will not be moved. There's another blessing of God. The enemy can rage, but you know, if we are with God, he causes us to stand and our enemies to fall. And, you know, the king trusteth in the Lord. And that's so important, that our trust be in the Lord. Trust the Lord in whatever situation you find yourself, and you'll not be moved. And he goes on to say, thine hand shall find out all thine enemies. See, one of the things that was very noteworthy concerning David's battle, he said he pursued his enemies until he got the necks. In other words, that they could not rise again. And whatever our enemy is, if it's a personal affliction, if it's a sin that's held dominion over us, we want the victory so that it never rises again. Never rises again. And you see, the enemy, in verse 9, goes down into a fiery oven, into hell. The Lord shall swallow them up in his wrath, and his fire shall devour them. You know, I was in a situation once where I was persecuted by people. And it's very wearing. I was crying out to God for victory in the matter. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, you will never see them again. You will never see them again. You will never see them again. And that was true in many situations in my life. The enemy has risen up, but after the battle, I never saw them again. They either slunk away, they moved out of the area, or in some cases, they actually died. Well, their fruit thou shalt destroy from the earth, and their seed from among the children of men. God's judgments are awesome for those who rise up against his people. And it often, his judgment often extends to many generations. For they intended evil against thee. They imagined a mischievous device which they are not able to perform. The wonderful thing about our God is this. He's in control. And the enemy cannot fulfill his desires against his people. He controls that enemy. And he loosens their loins so that they have no strength. They're unable to perform what they intended. Therefore thou shalt make them turn their back. And God causes them to turn away. And you know, he strikes them down. God is awesome when it comes to those who strive against his people. Therefore, I want to encourage you. You know, as King David came back triumphant, and God protected him from all his enemies, but not only that, he broke the power of those enemies, that they rose up not again. Thou shalt make them turn their back, flee away from us. And then, you know, the triumphal ode that finishes these psalms. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. And you see, coming back from the victory, you know, the congregation hearing the wonderful testimony of King David said, oh, we will praise thee forever and ever. We will exalt you. We will magnify you. Yes, and that's what you'll do when your pastor comes back from his trip. You know, you will magnify the Lord for having given him strength and caused him to be successful. And you also will be a partaker of the spoils. So get behind your pastor when he goes. God bless you.